Now the Lord told Abraham, he said, we took him off. He said, you look to the east, look to the west, you look to the north, you look to the south. I'm going to give you all this. I'm going to give you all this. You know, in Christ, we have all things. All things. You know, that's what we have. We have all things. Don't just look down here on the world. This isn't it. It's not it. Look around. Look up. Look up. We got all things. Oh, that's wonderful. Turn over to Joshua chapter 24. Joshua chapter 24. It's good to be here. It really is. It was a joy to have all you guys come over last week. That was a wonderful time we had. For you guys to make that trip over there and the message Bruce preached, that was wonderful. Wonderful. We won't forget these times. We won't forget them. Well, if you've read much in Joshua, you know, Joshua, he was a hard nose, wasn't he? He was. I mean, you look at some of the things he said and the stands he made and what he said to those people. Boy, he wasn't double-minded at all. He was either right or left. It was right or wrong. You did it. That's the way we were going to do it. And that was Joshua. He couldn't stand double-mindedness. Couldn't stand it. Things are either right or wrong. But Joshua always did something, though, before he spoke. He always did something. Turn over to Numbers chapter 14 real quick. Just keep your finger in Joshua chapter 24. But turn over to Numbers chapter 14. I'm going to show you something that Joshua... You know, there's a lot of people in this world. You listen to them talk, and boy, they're hard-nosed too, you know. I work with people all the time that are like that. You know, they got stuff to say and they stick to their guns and stuff, but where they're coming up with this, I don't know. You know, some of the things they stick to, or you just don't understand why they're sticking to it, because where they get it from, you don't know. But Joshua, we're going to find out where he got it, why he was so hard-nosed in what he said. Look over at Joshua, or Numbers chapter 14, verses 6 through 9. Now we remember Joshua and Caleb, they went into the promised land and they came back out. And this is what they had to say. And Joshua the son of Nun and Caleb the son of Jephunneh, which were of them that searched the land, rent their clothes. And they spake unto all the company of the children of Israel, saying, the land which we pass through to search it is an exceeding good land. If the Lord delight in us, then he will bring us into this land and give it us. A land of which floweth with milk and honey. Verse 9, only rebel not ye against the Lord, neither fear ye the people of the land, for they are bread for us. Their defense is departed from them, and the Lord is with us. Fear them not. Verse 10 said, all the congregation bade stone them with stones. They couldn't stand it. They couldn't stand what they were saying. Well, let me show you what he knew. Turn over back just a little bit to chapter 13. Just look right over here in chapter 13. Joshua never said anything unless he did something first. And that was what he always heard from the Lord before he spoke. He did. Verse 1 of chapter 13 said, and the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, send thou men that they may search the land of Canaan, which I give unto the children of Israel. Which I give. You know what Joshua and Caleb understood? You know what they understood? They understood free grace. That's what they understood. You know, these people, these other men that went in, they looked at the situation. My, there's giants in the land. We can't do it. We can't do it. They at least knew that much. They couldn't do it. But they were looking at themselves. It was on their own. They couldn't get it. We can't do this. Joshua understood something. The Lord had told him something. I give it to you. I give it to you. That's sovereign grace, is it not? I give it to you. Oh, we're thinking all the time. This church religion all over the place is saying, works, works, works. What are we going to do? What are we going to do? How are we going to do this? That's not it. I give it to you. That's what they understood. I give it to you. Joshua was a picture of Christ. He was. What a wonderful picture of Christ he was. Joshua's name, as Jesus' name, it means salvation. It means salvation. Jesus was always about his Father's business, wasn't he? He was. From that moment that his parents, they thought they'd lost him. And they went back to Jerusalem and they found him in the temple. Remember what he said? Remember what he said? He said, why are you worrying so much? Knowest thou not that I must be about my Father's business? Yeah. I'm doing what I'm supposed to be doing. And you're worrying about me. Don't you know who I am? The Son of God. I'm about my Father's business. And from the first time he speaks there until he hung on that cross and said, it is finished, he was always about his Father's business. That's what he was about. And that's what Joshua was about. He was. If you look through Joshua and you read this in this book, you'll see that Joshua spoke. And when he spoke what the Lord had told him. That's what he spoke. And he was very confident in what he said. Moses, you know, we think of Moses, and he was a type and a picture of the law. That's what he was. And what Moses could not accomplish and what the law could not accomplish by taking the children of Israel into the promised land, who did it? Joshua did it. Law is not going to get us to heaven. It's not the keeping of the law here on earth. It's not going to get us to heaven. Believing on the Lord Jesus Christ, trusting in him, that's going to take you in. You're going to cross the Jordan. You're going to follow the Lord Jesus Christ. You're going to be in him. You're going to be in. All right. Look at Joshua 5. Turn over to Joshua 5. A couple more examples real quick here. Joshua chapter 5. Verses 13 through 15. Now, we read in chapter 6 here of Joshua about what he told these people when he came up to Jericho. And he got all these men together and he said, this is what we're going to do. Can you imagine what these men thought? When he said this. So this is what we're going to do. We're going to march around this city. We're going to march around one time every day for 6 days. And on the seventh day, we're going to march around seven times. And then the ram's horn's going to blow. The trumpets are going to blast. We're going to let out a great shout. And those walls are going to fall down. Those walls are going to fall down. My, the people, those people must have just looked at him. Okay. All right. All right. Why? Because he'd heard from the Lord. Watch what. Look at this. Chapter 5, verse 13 of Joshua. It says, and it came to pass when Joshua was by Jericho. And you can just see this. Before Joshua had met here with this commander of the Lord, you can just think what he was looking at those walls. And he's thinking, how in the world are we going to do this? How is this going to happen? How are we going to defeat this land? Watch what it says. And it came to pass when Joshua was by Jericho that he lifted up his eyes and looked. And behold, there stood a man over against him with his sword drawn in his hand. And Joshua went unto him and said unto him, art thou for us or for our adversaries? And he said, nay, but as captain of the host of the Lord. You know who this was? This was Jesus Christ in a pre-incarnate appearance. That's who this was. And he met with Joshua right there by Jericho. He met with him. And he said, nay, but as captain of the host of the Lord, am I now come? And Joshua fell on his face to the earth and did worship. And said unto him, what saith my Lord unto his servant? And the captain of the Lord's host said unto Joshua, loose thy shoe from off thy foot, for the place whereon thou standest is holy. And Joshua did so. He did so. And then this angel of the Lord told him what to do. And then he went and told the people what they were going to do, didn't he? That's what happened. Well, the message today is this. This is the message. The words that men speak, the words that men preach, they mean absolutely nothing unless the Lord speaks to them. Unless the word of the Lord is heard, it means absolutely nothing. If all you hear this morning is my words and what feeble words they are, but if you hear only my words this morning, it's not going to mean anything to you. It's not. You know, these children of Israel, they had been told that land was theirs. They did, and the Lord told Moses to tell them that. They didn't hear it the first time, did they? They didn't hear it. When Joshua told them the second time, they heard it. They heard it and they went in and they possessed the land. You got to hear from the Lord. That's the message of today. You got to hear him speak. You have to hear him speak. You have to. Oh, but if God's word in his infinite wisdom, in his matchless grace, in his sovereign power, if he speaks through this servant this morning to your hearts, oh, it'll change your life. It'll change your life. It will. It will. He spoke through Joshua. He did. He spoke through Joshua. Oh, and I pray this morning that he'll speak through Brother Bruce down there this morning. Down there in Donnie Bell's church preaching for him. I pray this morning that he'll speak through him. I pray this morning that he'll speak through Pastor Wayne there, Providence Baptist Church, and he could speak through him. Oh, that men might hear the gospel. That they might hear the words of God. Oh, that he'd speak through me. That he could speak through me this morning. And his men around this land. That church in Montana, I think of them. Oh, my. His people. Oh, the people need to hear from the God, from the Lord God. They need to hear from him. Need to hear from him. Oh, let's have a word of prayer this morning before we begin. Dear Lord and Heavenly Father, Lord, we thank you. We thank you for this opportunity to come and to fellowship together and to read your word, Lord, and to meditate upon it and Lord, just see your greatness and your wonder, Lord, and your majesty, your might. Lord, you are so beautiful. Lord, we love you and we thank you so much for your word and for what you've done for sinners. Lord, I just pray, dear Lord, that you would be with us this morning. That you would guide and direct this meeting this morning, Lord, and that your Spirit would come amongst us. We come with the promise, Lord, knowing that where two or more are gathered in your name, there you will be in the midst of them, Lord. And oh, that we might feel your presence this morning. Lord, leave us not to ourselves. Leave us not alone, dear God, but be with us and speak through this servant of yours, Lord. I beg of you that you would have a word for these people. Lord, we pray. Lord, be with Pastor Bruce, Lord. Speak through him this morning. Bless him and give him unction from on high, Lord, that he might speak the words of life. And Lord, that you would speak to those people that he preaches to this morning. Lord, I pray for the church there in Plainfield, Lord. And just pray that you'd be with Brother Wayne there and that you would speak through him this morning. Bless those people there, Lord. Bless the church in Montana and all these churches around this land that proclaim your holy name. Dear God, bless your people this morning. Meet with them. Accomplish your purpose, Lord. Lord, that men and women, boys and girls would be saved by the great power of the gospel, Lord. Lord, just do this. If it be thy will, Lord, we pray. In your dear and precious Son's name, we ask these things. Amen. Well, turn to Joshua chapter 24, if you would. I'd like to read this morning to begin the first 15 verses of Joshua chapter 24. Joshua chapter 24, it says, "And Joshua gathered all the tribes of Israel to Shechem and called for the elders of Israel and for their heads and for their judges, for their officers, and they presented themselves before God." He had something to say, didn't he? Joshua had something to say to these people. And it's because he'd heard from the Lord. He'd heard from the Lord. Watch this. "And Joshua said unto all the people, Thus saith the Lord God of Israel. Thus saith the Lord God of Israel. Your fathers dwelt on the other side of the flood in old time. Even Terah, the father of Abraham and the father of Nahor. And they served other gods. And I took your father Abraham from the other side of the flood and led him throughout all the land of Canaan and multiplied his seed and gave him Isaac. And I gave unto Isaac Jacob and Esau. And I gave unto Esau Mount Seir to possess it. But Jacob and his children went down into Egypt. I sent Moses also and Aaron. And I plagued Egypt according to that which I did among them. And afterwards I brought you out. I brought you out. And I brought your fathers out of Egypt, and ye came unto the sea, and the Egyptians pursued after your fathers with chariots and horsemen unto the Red Sea." Ah, they're right behind you. They're right behind you. "And when they cried unto the Lord," those people stood there on the edge of that sea, "they cried unto the Lord, he put darkness between you and the Egyptians." He put darkness between you and the Egyptians. You know what that's saying? You know what that's saying? When Jesus Christ died upon the cross, okay, he took the sins of his people. And when he was buried in that ground, he took the sins of his people with him into that grave. All right? The bondage and the sin of his people, he took it and he buried it in that grave. And when he rose out of that grave, we came with him. His people came with him out of that grave. Our sins were left in that grave. Darkness was put between us in our bondage. And that's what he's saying. Watch, look at this. That's what it's saying here. Egyptians pursued after your bondage is right there on your tail. And when they cried unto the Lord, he put darkness between you and the Egyptians. That water covered them up, didn't it? Covered them up, and they came out on the other side. They came up out of the other side. Oh my, darkness. And brought the sea upon them and covered them. And your eyes have seen what I have done in Egypt. We come here and we sit on Sundays and we listen and we see what God has done for us. God has brought us out. And we look in this world of bondage, this world of sin, and we see what's going on in this world. Oh my, what the wickedness that goes on in this world. He brought us out of that. Brought us out of that. Oh, praise His holy name. Your eyes have seen what I've done in Egypt, and ye dwelt in the wilderness a long season. We're still here, aren't we? We're still here. We're going to be here a while. Lord willing, we'll be here a while. We will. And I brought you into the land of the Amorites, which dwelt on the other side of Jordan. And they fought with you. And I gave them into your hand, that ye might possess their land. And I destroyed them from before you. Then Balak, the son of Zippor, king of Moab, arose and warred against Israel. And sent and called Balaam, the son of Beor, to curse you. And I would not hearken unto Balaam. Therefore he blessed you still. So I delivered you out of his hand. You notice all these, I did it. I did it. I did it. If we're saved this morning, it's by His grace and His grace alone. He did it. He did it. And ye went over Jordan and came unto Jericho. And the men of Jericho fought against you, the Amorites and the Perizzites, the Canaanites and the Hittites and the Girgashites and the Hivites and the Jebusites. God before us, who can be against us? Oh my, though the whole world be against us, if God be for us, nobody can be against us. Oh my, and I delivered them into your hand. I did that. And I sent the hornet before you, which drave them out from before you, even the two kings of the Amorites, but not with thy sword. No, I did it. I delivered it. It wasn't with my sword, your sword. It was with mine. Not with thy bow. You didn't do the shooting. I did. And I have given you a land for which ye did not labor. It's a wonderful verse. Wonderful verse. I have given you a land for which ye did not labor. And cities which ye built not. What did Abraham do? He said, I look for a city which hath foundations, whose builder and maker is God. Oh, I give it to you. I give it to you. That's wonderful. And ye dwell in them, of the vineyards and olive yards which ye planted not. You didn't plant them, but you're eating from them. You're eating from them. And if we possess a righteousness this morning, if we have it, it's not our own. It's not our own. It's because we got it in Christ. We received it in Christ. That's where we got it. Oh my. Now therefore fear the Lord and serve Him in sincerity and in truth, and put away the gods which your fathers served on the other side of the flood and in Egypt. Serve ye the Lord. And if it seem evil unto you to serve the Lord, choose you this day whom ye will serve. That's my message this morning. Very simple. Choose you this day whom ye will serve. Five things. Number one, we're going to talk about this word choose. We're going to talk about it. And I'm going to try to show you this morning that Joshua, he was not an Arminian. He wasn't. He wasn't a free willer. No, he wasn't. We're going to talk about this word choose. You. We're going to talk about this word you. Who this word you is. What he's talking about when he says you. When he says me. That's what he's talking about. Okay. Choose you this day. We're going to talk about the urgency of the gospel. We're going to talk about the power of the gospel. This day. This day. Whom? Well, that's going to be all through this message. The whom. But we're going to talk about the whom this morning. And whom ye will serve. We're going to talk about this ye will serve. This call to arms. Okay? That's what we're going to talk about. Well, we'll start first with choose. Very simple outline. Choose. What's this word mean? What's this word mean? There's a movie that I've watched with the kids. It's kind of a children's movie. It's called Princess Bride. I don't know if any of you have seen it. But there's this little Italian guy who's running around in this movie. And he's always saying, inconceivable. Inconceivable. Anytime anything happens that he can't understand, he says that. Inconceivable. Inconceivable. Well, what about halfway through the movie, they're climbing up this rope or something. He looks down over the edge. He sees this guy following him. And he looks over at these guys that are with him. And he says, that's inconceivable. I can't believe it. And this Spaniard that's with him, this sword fighter that's with him, he looks at him and he says, you know, he says, you keep saying that word. He says, but I really don't think that word means what you think it means. I don't think it does. And people are out here in religion today. They're saying this word, choose. They're spewing it off all the time. You got to choose, 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 choose. I just want to look at them and say, listen, I really don't think that word means what you think it means. I don't think it does. It doesn't. Listen, this word choose, I'm going to try to show you here this morning. I believe that this word choose is possibly the second oldest word in the annals of time. The second oldest word. Ephesians 1 verse 4 says, according as He hath chosen us in Him, that's in the Lord Jesus Christ, chosen us in Him before the foundation of this world. Chosen. Chosen. Revelation 13 verse 8 says, Jesus Christ was the Lamb slain before or from the foundation of the world. Alright? There was some choosing going on before the world was ever formed. There was. Acts 2 verse 3 says, Jesus Christ was offered up, not by the Jewish people and not by the Roman government, but Jesus Christ was offered up by the determinate counsel and foreknowledge of God. That's how He was delivered up. You know what the word determinate means? That's got to have something to do with choosing, doesn't it? Yeah, it does. It has everything to do with choosing. Listen, before the foundation of the world, before the stars were ever lit in the heavens, you know, I was thinking this week, before the space to put all the universe was even there. I thought about that. Some of you ever thought about that? You know, we think about eternity. We think about eternity or future. And we can kind of get a grasp of that. We can kind of understand that a little bit. We think living forever with the Lord Jesus Christ in eternity, and we can understand it. But thinking back the other way, that's kind of hard to understand. Eternity past. That God, the Father, and Son, and the Holy Spirit, they've been forever. Forever. There was never a time when they didn't exist. That's kind of hard to fathom. And when we look up in the stars and we see the heavens and these great things that He has created, we can kind of, with our finite minds, we can kind of get a grasp of that. That He spoke these things into existence. You ever thought about He even created the space to put it in? I mean, I thought about that. That's right. He even created the space to put it in. And before there was even any space to put it in, there were some decisions going on. There was. God the Father, God the Eternal Father, God the Eternal Son, and God the Eternal Spirit, Holy Spirit, they sat in the heavenlies in a council. In a council. Not just any council. You know, we have councils in this world, but a determinate council. A determinate account. There was some choosing going on. There were some choices being made. It was a determinate council. And the two most important words to us that were ever spoken, that I believe in the annals of time for us, was when the holy, eternal God of this Bible said, I choose. I choose. And what did He choose? What did He choose? Well, He chose to create, didn't He? He chose to create. He said, I choose to create all that we see. The heavens and the stars and this fair round world that we live on. He chose to create. He chose to speak that into existence. He chose that. He chose to scoop up dirt. And He chose to breathe life into that dirt. Form it into man after His own image and to breathe life into that man. He chose to do that. It was His decision. He chose to do it. He did. And He chose. Now listen. He chose to allow men to fall in the garden. He did. That was His choice.
He chose it. And he chose the way of salvation. He did. And he chose a people out of that fallen mass of humanity. He chose a people. He did. He chose them. That's the truth. Oh, and his Son. His Son, that one who from all eternity has done and will do the will of his Father. He chose to come into this world. The Word chose to become flesh and dwell among us. He did. He came down into this world. He chose to do it. And to take upon himself the sins of his chosen people. Those people that the Father had given to him. All that the Father giveth me will come to me. All of them. All of them. He chose to do that. To take the sins of his people and to bear them on the cross of Calvary. He chose to suffer. He chose to die. He chose to be resurrected. He chose to sit forever on the right hand of the Father and make intercession for his people. He chose to do that. That's his word. That's his word we're talking about. Choose. This is where the choosing comes from, right here. Oh, the Spirit. What did the Spirit choose to do? He said, I choose to go down in that world. And I choose to convince men of sin. I choose to come and I choose to make men willing in the day of my power. I choose to do that. Oh my. If it wasn't for that, we'd be in trouble, wouldn't we? We'd be in trouble. Choosing going on. Some choosing going on. Ephesians 2 verse 1 says, and you have he quickened who were dead in trespasses and sins. He did that because there were some choices made. Some choosing going on. He chose to make us his chosen people, willing in the day of his power. He chose to do that. I tell you this morning, if this word choose, choose you this day whom you will serve. If this word choose means anything at all to you this morning, If it comes to power to your heart, and if it means anything to you this morning, then this is not because this word is an Arminian word, and it's not because this word is a Calvinistic word. It's because this word right here, choose, is a sovereign word. It is a sovereign word spoken by a sovereign God. Choose you this day whom you will serve. Choose. It has to be spoken by a sovereign God. If this word can be traced back, it's going to have to be traced back to the foundation of this world. It has to be traced back to the lips of Almighty God. The choice that was made. He said, I graven your name on the palm of my hand. All right? And he's chosen this very moment right here. He's chosen it. To send his Spirit down. And through this word right here, he's chosen to his Spirit stand before you this morning with his sword drawn. And this word choose is brought to your heart. Choose you this day whom you will serve. It has got to come from the Lord God Almighty. It has to come from him. That's what this word choose means. Choose. I could stand up here all day long and say choose to you. I could. But if the Spirit stands in front of you and says choose, you will fall on your knees and you will serve him this day. Choose you this day whom you will serve. All right. What's this word you all about? This word you. Well, I got three places I'm going to take you here in the Bible. Three places I'm going to show you. Turn over the first thing to Romans 3. Romans 3. And I know you're saying, oh, you're going for the death blow. Romans 3. But I tell you, this one right here is probably the best of the three. Showing what we are. Now, Romans 3, verses 10 through 18. It's probably the easiest to take. Romans 3, verses 10 through 18. This is the you we're talking about. If he chose you, if you have been chosen, this is the you that has been chosen. Okay? It says, at verse 10, it says, as it is written, there is none righteous, no, not one. None. There is none that understandeth. There is none that seeketh after God. They are all gone out of the way. They are together become unprofitable. There is none that doeth good. No, not one. They are together become unprofitable. When did we become unprofitable? That's when we fell. And we did it together. We did it together. We did it with our daddy Adam. We fell in him. Oh, we can fight against it. We can. See, I wasn't there. I wasn't there. Yeah, you were. Yeah, you were. Well, you weren't there when Christ hung on the cross. Well, I was there. Praise be to God, I was there. I was in him. I was in him. All right. All together become unprofitable, and there is none to do with good, no, not one. Their throat is an open sepulcher. With their tongues they have used deceit, and the poison of asps is under their lips, whose mouth is full of cursing and bitterness. Their feet are swift to shed blood. Destruction and misery are in their ways, and the way of peace they know not. There is no fear of God before their eyes. No fear of God before their eyes. That's you. Choose you this day whom ye will serve. That's the you. Okay, now, another place. Ezekiel chapter 16. And you probably know this place too. Ezekiel chapter 16. I'm going to read verses 1 through 6. Ezekiel chapter 16, verses 1 through 6. It says again, the word of the Lord came unto me, saying, this is the word of the Lord. Now listen. Son of man, cause Jerusalem to know her abominations, and say, thus saith the Lord God unto Jerusalem, thy birth and thy nativity is of the land of Canaan. Thy father was an Amorite, and thy mother a Hittite. And as for thy nativity, he's talking about the you now. He's talking about me. As for thy nativity, in the day thou wast born, thy navel was not cut. Neither was thou washed in water to supple thee. Thou wast not salted at all, nor swaddled at all. None I pitied thee to do any of these unto thee, to have compassion upon thee. But thou wast cast out in the open field to the loathing of thy person in the day that thou wast born. You're like a little baby that was born, a deformed little baby. It didn't even get the navel cut, didn't clean it up at all, none at all. And they just took and cast it out in the open field. That's what this is saying. This is the you. This is the you it's talking about. None I pity thee. Alright, verse 6. Watch this though. Watch this. Verse 6 says, and when I pass by thee, oh, that God would pass by this morning. That he would pass by this. But this is what we gotta have. This is what we have to have. And saw thee polluted in thine own blood. There's the you. When I passed by you and I saw you polluted in your own blood, I said unto thee, when thou wast in thy blood, I said, live. There's another one of them sovereign words. If it's going to mean anything to you, it's because it's a sovereign word spoken by a sovereign God to your heart at his time. Live. Live. Choose. Live. Believe. Trust. Hope. Sovereign words. It's got to be spoken by God to our heart. It has to be. And when I passed by thee and saw thee polluted in thy blood, I said unto thee, when thou wast in thy blood, live. Yea, I said unto thee, when thou wast in thy blood, live. Live. Oh, that those words be spoken this morning to your heart. Live. Choose. Not by me, but by the eternal God who spoke them in eternity past. Choose you this day whom ye will serve. All right, Hosea. Hosea. It goes Ezekiel, Daniel, Hosea, chapter 1. Just one verse here. Hosea 1, verse 2. It says, and we're talking about the you. Talking about the you. It says, the beginning of the word of the Lord by Hosea. And the Lord said to Hosea, go take unto thee a wife of whoredoms and a children of whoredoms, for the land hath committed great whoredom, departing from the Lord. We're talking about the you. That's who we're talking about. There's people that say, you got to get that out of the Bible. Just get that Hosea, get it out of there. I tell you this morning, you take this out of the Bible, that we're all going to hell. Every single one of us. Every single one. If Jesus Christ hadn't came to this world and chosen a bride, if a bride had not been chosen before the foundation of this world, a bride chosen out of whoredom. That's what it says about you. That's what it says about me. That's where He found us. He found us polluted in our own blood. He found us children of whoredom. And He came into this world. Into this world of filth, this world of vileness and wretchedness. And He chose a people out of it. And He spoke to them. Isn't that amazing? He spoke to those people. Sovereign word of life. Live. Choose you this day whom you will serve. My. All right. This day. Choose you this day. Turn over to Luke. Luke chapter 19. We're going to talk about this day real quick. Luke chapter 19. We're going to read verses 1 through 6. Now we've got to remember. And I'm going to get some screws and I'm going to get this nail down here. Because it does not stay where you want it to stay. All right. This word, choose you this day. We're going to talk about this day for a minute. Now we've got to remember where this choose came from. Where this word came from. It came from the eternal throne of God. Choose you this day. Now let's talk about this day for a second. In Jesus, verse 1 of chapter 19 of Luke, Jesus entered in and passed through Jericho. And behold, there was a man named Zacchaeus, which was the chief among the publicans, and he was rich. And he sought to see Jesus, who he was, and could not for the press because he was of little stature. It's funny, he was chief among the publicans, but yet he was of little stature. The Bible says about it. All right. Oh, we can be great in this world. But in the eyes of God, we're nothing until we know Him. All right. Little stature. And he ran before and he climbed up into a sycamore tree to see him. And he was to pass that way. And when Jesus came to the place, he looked up and he saw him. All right. I passed by thee. I saw thee in thy blood. Now remember that. He said, I looked up. He looked up and saw him and said unto him, Zacchaeus, make haste. And come down for today. Listen, a sovereign word is always going to be followed by today. Today. This hour. This minute. This second. Immediately. I listened to that CD of D was over here. He was talking about that immediately. That was good. Immediately. That old blind Bartimaeus, he received his sight. Wow. Immediately. Why? Because the sovereign hand of God, He touched him. He healed him. And it happened immediately. That man full of leprosy. Immediately he was clean. That man sick of the palsy. Jesus looked at him and said, take up your bed and walk. What happened? He waited around a while and immediately he picked up his bed and he walked with it. Immediately. Why? Because the sovereign word of God was spoken to his heart. Oh, that might happen today. Jairus' daughter says when the word of God came to her, when Jesus spoke to her, she arose straightway. Immediately. Lazarus rolls stone away. Oh, he stinks. He's been in there. He's been in there too long. He stinks. Roll it away. Lazarus, come forth. Sovereign word. That's the sovereign word we're talking about. Come forth. And what happened? Just walked right out of there, didn't he? That's sovereign. That's sovereign word that did that. You, me, when the Lord came to our hearts, how'd He come? He must have come with a sovereign word. He must have. We believed. Oh my. This day, old Zacchaeus, he came down out of that tree, didn't he? He did. What does it say in verse 6? Verse 6 of Luke chapter 19, and said he made haste. He came down out of that tree, he made haste down out of that tree, and came down and he received him joyfully. Oh, and that's how we're going to receive the Word of God. We are. Before the Lord makes Himself known to us, oh, we sit and we fight it. We're going to fight it. Somebody tells us we're a sinner. We're going to fight it. had a young man in our church. I believe the Lord just saved him. Said that he fought with it. He fought with it. The fact that he was a sinner. He fought with it. He couldn't stand the message. Couldn't stand us when we were saying it. He fought it. But one day, the Lord showed him. We're going to deal with this in the next service. But it's like old Isaiah said. He said, I saw thee high and lifted up. And the train filled the temple. You know, he saw that. And then what did he say? Woe is me. Woe is me. I'm a man of unclean lips. Oh my, I dwell in the midst of a people of unclean lips. Oh, you'll see it. The Lord's sovereign word comes to you. You'll see it. All right, whom? And we must move on. Run out of time. Whom? There's only two choices. Only two choices here in this whom. And we've been talking about the one the whole time. But this whom we're talking about. This one we've talked about, the sovereign ruler of all eternity. The great I am. That's number one. Or there's the other one. The great I. There's only two. There it is. There's only two religions in this world. You can look at it and you can say, oh, there's Hinduism, Muslimism, and all these different Buddhism and all these other things going on. But there's only two religions. There is true God worship and there is man worship. That's it. There's grace and there's works. There's only two. There's only two. And people will tell you all sorts of different things, but there is only two. Oh, men, I tell you, men stick gods. They stick gods upon the throne. We were talking about this last night. They stick gods on the throne. And you know they stick gods up there that they can manipulate. They do. They stick gods up in there that they can please. They stick gods on the throne that they can do things for that will be pleasing to them. And if they don't like them, they'll pull them down. They'll figure out another god to worship. They will. But I tell you what. The true sovereign God of this Bible, our God reigns. Our God reigns. He does. And He placed Himself on that throne. He did it. I did it. I did it. Oh, our kids, when they were little, they used to always say, I do it. I do it. You tell them, oh, I'll help you with that. I do it. Oh, I tell you. Jesus Christ did it. And when He said, I did it, I do it. I'm the one that did it. He is. Oh. I tell you what, no one has ever challenged Him. No one has ever challenged Him for it. They haven't. They tried, but it was never a challenge. He's the eternal God of all creation. That's the God we're talking about. Choose you this day whom ye will serve. Alright, let's talk about this you will serve for a minute in light of what we've been talking about. Because there's all sorts of different things you can come up with this you will serve thing. Alright? If you think you got yourself in this and you think that it was your doing that made you what you are, then you're going to think something totally different about this you will serve thing. You're going to think you have to come up with something and you've got to get your gumption ready and you're going to have to go out and you're going to have to serve. It's up to you. No, that's not the way it works. That's not it. Ye will serve. Let me show you. Ephesians 1. Ephesians 1, verse 11 and 12. Ephesians 1, verse 11 and 12 says, in whom also we have obtained an inheritance, being predestinated according to the purpose of Him who worketh all things after the counsel of His own will. Now, he said, you keep going back to Him. Why don't you talk about me for a minute? No, I'm not going to do that. I'm always going to take you to Him because that's where the power comes from. I'm not going to lead you back to you. I told you what you was back here on page 3 of my notes. I did. I'm not going to lead you there. I'm going to take you right where the power is. I'm going to take you to Him. Verse 12 says that we, that's us, and this, if you understand this you thing, this is an amazing verse right here, that we should be to the praise of His glory. That we, those ones that were found out in that field, polluted in our blood, we could possibly be to the praise of His glory. Who first trusted in Christ. It has to be in Christ. It has to be in Him. Look over here at Ephesians 2, just right across the page. Ephesians 2, verses 8 through 10. And we all know verse 8 really well. For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. Now look at this, verse 10. For we are His workmanship. Now if we just sit here and we think to ourselves, now we got to serve. We're going to serve. We're going to do it. We're going to roll up our sleeves and we're going to do it. We got to find out what we are. His workmanship. The power came from Him. It came from Him. We are His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works. You see that? Which God hath, listen to this, now we're getting back here, eternity. Now we're seeing where it came from. Which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them. That's where the power comes from. That's where it comes from. It comes from Him. Look over at Romans 6. Romans 6. I'm going to read verses 1 through 14 because this is important. We understand where this power comes from. This we will serve, this call to arms. Do we honestly think that God chose a people? He chose not only a people, but He chose the means of our salvation. He chose the place of our salvation. He chose the time of our salvation. His Spirit came and spoke life to our hearts. Do we honestly believe that after He did all of that, He's just going to leave us to ourselves? Uh-uh. No, He's not. He's going to accomplish His purpose. God is a God of purpose. I heard Bruce preach a message on that one time. Purpose. He's a God of purpose. We got to remember that. He's a God of purpose. And what is His purpose? His purpose is to make us like Christ, right? To conform us to the image of His Son. That's His purpose. All right, look at verse 6, chapter 6, verse 1 of Romans. Paul is dealing with these people who are confronting sovereign grace. We're going to have these people all the time. We're going to have these people saying, well, if you believe that, then you believe you can just live any way you want, still go to heaven, because God, you believe God saved you by His grace, and it's done. It's a done deal. You can live any way you want and still go to heaven. And we get confronted with that all the time. But that's not the truth. Watch what he says. What shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? God forbid. God forbid. How shall we that are dead to sin any longer live therein? Know ye not that so many of us were baptized into Jesus Christ, were baptized into His death? Now we're going back to that picture there of the Israelites going into the Red Sea. All right, and them coming out on the other side in bondage, going down in after them, and then being covered up. Okay, and that's what Jesus Christ did. He took our sins to the grave, and when He came up out of that grave, He came up out of it, and we come with Him. Watch this: we're baptized, therefore we are buried with Him by baptism into death, that like as Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life. We came out of that grave with Him. We came up out of that grave with Him. All right? All right, verse 4. Or verse 5. For if we have been planted together in the likeness of His death, we shall be also in the likeness of His resurrection. All right? If we were buried with Him, okay? And by His power and by His grace, we were buried in that grave with Him. We were crucified with Him. Paul said, I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I, but it is Christ that liveth in me. And the life that I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave Himself for me. If we were buried in that ground with Him, and we came up out of that ground into newness of life with Him, then will we not walk in that life? Won't we walk with Him? Will we not serve Him? I believe we will. I believe we will. Because we know where the power comes from. It's not us. We didn't come up out of that grave by ourselves. We came up in Christ. We came up out of that grave. And we know where it comes from. Now watch, verse 6. Knowing this, that our old man is crucified with Him, that the body of sin might be destroyed, that henceforth we should not serve sin. For he that is dead is freed from sin. Now we know, we're in the flesh. We still sin. That's not what that means. It means we're justified. We stand before a thrice holy God as if we had never sinned, because we stand before Him in the presence of the Lord Jesus Christ. We stand for Him in front of Him in the Lord Jesus Christ. And we are justified. We stand just like we have never sinned. And we stand with a righteousness that is not our own, that we did not possess. We stand in Christ, His righteousness. It's like He said, I give you a land that you did not possess. You know, you're eating fruit. You're eating fruit that you had nothing to do with planting. And if you stand before God this morning, you're going to have to stay. If you're going to be justified in His sight, you've got to stand in Christ. You have got to stand in Christ. Look at verse 9. Knowing that Christ, being raised from the dead, dieth no more, death hath no more dominion over Him. For in that He died unto sin once, but then in that He liveth unto God. Likewise, reckon ye also yourselves to be dead indeed unto sin, but alive unto God through Jesus Christ our Lord. Let not sin therefore reign in your mortal body, that ye should obey it in the lust thereof. Neither yield your members as instruments of unrighteousness unto sin, but yield yourselves unto God as those that are alive from the dead, and your members as instruments of righteousness unto God. Verse 14, listen to this. For sin shall not have dominion over you, for ye are not under the law, but under grace. Under grace. That's where the power comes from, isn't it? Grace. We are saved by grace, and we're going to live by grace. We're going to live by it. Turn back over here real quick, right to Joshua chapter 24 again, where we were. Joshua chapter 24. I should have held my place there. Joshua chapter 24. Watch what he says here in verse 15. He said, and if it seem evil unto you to serve the Lord, choose you this day whom you will serve, whether the gods which your fathers served that were on the other side of the flood, or the gods of the Amorites in whose land you dwell. Listen to what he says. But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. We will serve the Lord. Joshua was not saying here and looking at himself when he said that. He was not saying this out of some thing that he was deriving from how good a person he was. No, this is a sovereign grace statement right here, is what he said. As for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. Why? Because He delivered me. He saved me. He brought me out of the grave. He's the one. That's how I'm going to live. That's why I'm going to live unto Him. That's the reason. You see that? Isn't that wonderful? That is. Oh my. That's wonderful. Well, did you have a song, Terrence, or is that what you did?
If the ladies want to go on back, if any of you need to go back to get the dinner ready, you can go on back and we'll sing a song.